Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Tuesday. We're packed. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Tons of football today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Today's show, I have so much energy for it, not because I have a big glass of Red Bull.
Oh. Well, you're not buying coffee from coffee shops anymore. We know
that.
So, but Red Bull is still
I can go
available.
Get Red Bull anywhere. Yesterday, I decided no more coffee shops. I'm tired of getting hosed. So I can officially feel this morning. We're kind of segueing into football.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start the show with this. And Joy, I'm going to say something, and people are going to think I'm nuts. And I'm going to say, take a deep breath and just listen. This isn't politics. You're not voting on this issue where people are intractable. This is sports where we change our mind all the time. Player gets hurt, coach gets fired. This morning, Ezekiel Elliott, best running back in the NFL, has privately said he's planning a training camp holdout. He's got 2 years left on his contract. 2 years left. And he's putting you through this nonsense. Forget the fact that every offseason there's a new judicial issue. Trade him. I would trade Zeke. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. This is not the NBA, where after the 8th draft pick, you're out of players. This year in the NBA, by the 4th pick, it's a project. It's an 18-year-old project. This is the NFL. Half the league is undrafted. There's football talent everywhere. Belichick every other year drafts an SEC running back. Nobody knows. He ends up being great. Trade Zeke. I'm not letting this guy 2 years out. We're talking about this. Number one, there's a growing number of analytics in the NFL and GMs that believe you do not give a running back after 3 or 4 years in this league, a big contract. High school carries, college carries, NFL carries. Once you get into that 2,000 carry area, Zeke's numbers, touchdowns per game, dropping dramatically. Yards rushing per game, coming down. Let him go. Trade him. You can get a haul for him. His value will never be higher today. He is seen as the number one running back in the NFL. This is his greatest value. From this point forward, more dings, more judicial issues, not great judgment, his value goes down. Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. You could get a haul for him. By the way, here's three teams that moved off running backs. You told me they couldn't do it. Minnesota Vikings, Adrian Peterson. Can't get rid of him. Can't. Best running back for 10 years. They've never missed the playoffs since he left. Minnesota's a great franchise. They never didn't miss. By the way, the only playoff game they won with Adrian Peterson, Brett Favre was a quarterback. You told me they couldn't trade Adrian Peterson. Vikings been fine without him. DeMarco Murray, Cowboys. Oh, my God, leads the NFL in two division, three titles without DeMarco Murray. Le'Veon Bell. Well, you weren't winning Super Bowls with him. And you were number four in the NFL in offense without him. And you paid James Conner nothing. This is not a running back league. It's a quarterback league. It's increasingly a wide receiver league because of rule changes. It's a left tackle league. It's an edge rusher league. It's a have mobile linebackers. It's have a lockdown corner. By the way, the Cowboys have all of those. This organization is not bereft of talent. In fact, over the weekend, I read a website, an analytic website, that said Dallas had more good young players than anybody in the NFL. I think Philadelphia was second. And they're all mature. Amari Cooper, great, talented, young, mature. Dak, really good, talented, mature. Van Der Esch, Jalen Smith, the linebacker. Byron Jones, the corner. DeMarcus Lawrence. You got to pay all these guys, and they're all mature. The one young guy they have that's not is Zeke. I'm not tied. Some people you date, some people you marry. I'm not tying myself long-term to Zeke. 2 years out, he's complaining about a contract? Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered, move off him. By the way, here's a little secret. If you move off him, and then Dak, you can make a trade right now, and Dak has to play without him? Oh, maybe Dak can't demand $35 million a year if his numbers come down a little. Because Dak is your future, right? Got to have a quarterback. Much easier to find a running back than a quarterback. Look around the NFL last 5 years. How many great second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round running backs have come into this league and not only been good soon. The Rams signed Todd Gurley to a huge deal. They regret it today. Todd Gurley got hurt. They found C.J. Anderson, still made it to the Super Bowl with C.J. Anderson. You told me DeMarco Murray couldn't be traded. Le'Veon Bell couldn't be moved. You told me Adrian Peterson was a must-have. By the way, who are the two franchises in the NFL favored to get to the Super Bowl? Patriots and Eagles. Both are running back by committee. Trade him. I'm not going to be held hostage by this nonsense. His rushing yards per game coming down. His touchdowns per game dramatically coming down. He had 592 carries in college. He had 870 carries in the NFL. He's at 1,500 running back carries, not counting high school. There's a rule in the NFL. What would Belichick do? Trade him for a haul. By the way, Belichick would trade him, and Jimmy Johnson did trade Herschel Walker. And let's go back to the Jimmy Johnson trade. A, that was a culture that nobody made trades. Nobody made trades. Secondly, Herschel Walker had gone for 1,500 rushing yards and 500 passing yards, and Jimmy traded him. By the way, it was the only good Cowboy player. So it's not like Jimmy had a bunch of guys. It was it. And Jimmy's like, I'll trade my only good player. Cowboys now have like seven great young players and one of the top three offensive lines. It was also back then a running back league way more than now where it's a wide receiver quarterback offensive line league. Stop living in fear. I'm not dealing with this nonsense. Every offseason, it's another judicial issue. 2 years out, you're threatening to hold out of camp. I'm done. Bad judgment. I'm out. I'm done. I'm not going to be held hostage by it. Everybody in this league tells me, you got to sign this, you got to sign. No. In the NBA, you got to get Kawhi Leonard. Okay, yes. In the NBA, you got to get Anthony Davis if you're the Lakers. There are a lot. In the NBA, there's about six you got to haves. Golden State, you got to keep Steph and Clay. There's some got to haves. Outside of a handful of quarterbacks in the NFL, there's not a lot of got to haves. J.J. Watt was the best defensive player in this league for about 5 years. His production never equaled wins. OBJ, next to Randy Moss, maybe the most talented receiver in NFL history. His six biggest games are 1-5. Here's what you got to have in the NFL. You got to have the confidence in your coaching staff and the confidence in your system that you don't got to have anybody except a very good quarterback. Which, by the way, that's just rules. That's just the way the rules are. The rules are now, if you have a good quarterback, he completes 67%, you win a bunch of games. If you have a bad one, you don't make the playoffs. New England, Philadelphia, never held hostage by an individual running back. But they pay Carson Wentz and Tom Brady a bunch of money. Okay, this is nonsense. Again, the NBA's got some gotta-haves. NFL, not many. And Zeke is not a gotta-have. And again, I'll say this. Jimmy Johnson did this in Dallas when it was more of a running back league, when he didn't have anybody else, and it got a lot of pushback, and you all said he was crazy. And it is the singular reason the Cowboys dynasty was created. I could give you a team to call. Call the Houston Texans. Call the Houston Texans. Say, you give us Lamar Miller and a couple of first-round picks, you have Zeke. Zeke's carries, yards per carry, will go down at least a yard per game. Watch. Houston Texans need a running back. Cowboys, bring in Lamar Miller. You know, he's a guy that averages 3 yards a carry. Behind the Cowboy O-line, he'll be 3.8 to 4.1. Zeke averages 4.5 a carry. Watch his go down to 3.5. There's no running back in this league that can do it without help. You can't run in a box with no players. The Cowboy offensive line is one of the reasons Zeke is getting these numbers. Now, Zeke is great, and I'm not denying it. But his trade value will never be higher than this morning. You really think sign him to a 4-year deal? There'll be no more judicial issues, no nonsense, no bad judgment. You think in 4 years he'll be better than today? I mean, if you want to sign him, you better front load the contract because these running backs hit a cliff after about that 6 year of carrying the ball, especially after they were big carry guys in college for a couple of years. Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. Go ahead, sign him. But you got a bunch of great young players. They're all mature. You need all of them. You got one great corner. He's young and talented and mature. You better sign him. You have a pass rusher, DeMarco Lawrence. You signed him. You got two great linebackers. I'd sign both. You watch the NFL right now, you need speed at linebacker. You have the best linebacker. I want to sign both. I got to re-sign one or two of those offensive linemen. I want to keep Amari Cooper. I'm not giving up Dak. Well, you going to feed everybody? And the little secret on this, if you let Zeke go, Dak plays without Zeke, Dak's numbers compress, and I may not have to pay him $35 million. I may get down to $27 million. It sounds crazy. It sounds nuts. I'm going to take a deep breath and just stew in my brilliance.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Organizations do it all the time. It's nice to have you back in The Herd. They say one thing, but they're doing another. Remember the New York Giants? We did not sign Odell Beckham to trade Odell Beckham. Why did guys like Jay Glazer keep going on the air and saying they're going to trade him? Don't believe Gettleman. The Houston Rockets, Chris Paul and James Harden get along great. These rumors are outrageous. And then they traded him because they didn't get along. Folks, what an organization is selling the masses sometimes is true, and a lot of times it's not. It's my job, not your responsibility, to figure out when there's a bunch of BS. I've been saying for the last 2 to 3 years, everybody in Oklahoma City with half a brain knew that Westbrook can't be your number one guy. You can't build around him. You got to get out of that contract. Well, we find out now Oklahoma City wanted to get out of that contract. According to Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer, very well-sourced, smart guy, that Sam Presti, the GM of Oklahoma City, would not admit it. But he said a rival executive, Sam's way too smart to not know the team had reached its ceiling with Westbrook. The second point is Kawhi's recruitment gave OKC an out because the minute Paul George said, I want to go, you could trade Westbrook then without all the backlash. Oklahoma City's a small town. They'd lost Harden. They lost Durant. It is very difficult for the Memphises. You see this a lot of times in all sports. The small market, they get their star. I mean, you can't criticize Cam Newton in Charlotte. But you can go to New York and L.A. and Chicago and Dallas, and Dak Prescott gets ripped in Dallas. They've got a hockey team. They've got an NBA team. They've got a baseball team. They got major university. It's a big, broad, sophisticated Dallas sports market. You can rip a star. You can't rip Cam Newton despite his inconsistency in Charlotte. And OKC is small, and they put their arms around Westbrook, and they lost KD and Harden. It was like, don't take our guy. Everybody knew inside the building. And I'll give you the reason why. NBA fires coaches nonstop. I mean, good God. Dwayne Casey wins Coach of the Year in Toronto. He got the trophy next door at Starbucks as he found out he got fired. They fire everybody. Yet Billy Donovan, OKC, can't win games in the first round with the highest payroll or second highest payroll in the league. And there's never been a rumor. You can't find a story. Billy Donovan's never in trouble. How is that possible? How is Billy Donovan exempt from this vicious NBA coaching cycle where competent people get run because of bad owners and pressure? And Billy Donovan can't win a first-round series. Hell, he can struggle to win a first-round game. There was never a rumor. With the second-highest payroll. Because the GM, the owner, the coach, they all knew. Westbrook's a talent. We got to move off this contract. If he's our number one guy, now maybe he can be your number two in Houston, but you can't win when your number one guy is Westbrook. And he's difficult, and he's brutal with the press, and he's rigid, and he won't change. And Billy Donovan never, ever, ever has been in trouble, and he can't win games in the first round of the second highest payroll. That's telling you that the owner and the GM, they're all in on it. They all knew, and this gave them the out to move. And by the way, and I've said this before, I get small markets, you know, they couldn't criticize Westbrook because it's harder for small markets. I read a story this morning. Westbrook had so much power in the organization, they gave it to him, that he was literally dictating terms on media policy. Oklahoma City is the only team that wouldn't allow pregame interviews because Westbrook didn't like him. Why? I mean, Miami didn't allow D-Wade to do that, and D-Wade's got titles. D-Wade's a better player than Westbrook in his prime. Why? Because it's Miami. A lot of people want to play in Miami. Aqua water, beach, no state tax, Pat Riley. So Miami's never going to hand the franchise to even D-Wade, who, next to Dan Marino, or maybe more than Dan Marino, is the biggest star in any one city in America. Seriously. Like, Dan Marino and D-Wade own Miami in sports. They didn't hand the franchise to D. Wade. He wasn't dictating policy. But Westbrook was dictating policy because Oklahoma City knows we don't get stars, just like LeBron in Cleveland. You can see it. You can set the media policy. I mean, literally, Westbrook would often dictate, according to a story I read this morning, when they flew in and out of towns. Like, we're not going to stay the night here and practice here. We're going to go somewhere else. What? That's what LeBron did in Cleveland. Why? Because it's Cleveland. Westbrook did it in Oklahoma City. Why? Because it's Oklahoma City. The Lakers love LeBron. They're not going to let him totally dictate the franchise. I mean, the Yankees love their star players. It's the Yankees. The Cowboys love their star players. It's the Cowboys. It's the Steelers. It's the Packers. You can't dominate the team. You can't dominate the franchise. Westbrook was allowed to do it, but they all knew the con inside of the game, which was you can't win with him. You can't win in the playoffs. He's exhausted by the time the playoffs come. Analytically, he doesn't work in the NBA today long term, and he's hard to play with at times. Houston, maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. But it's not his city now. It's not his franchise. It's James Harden's franchise, and James Harden's better than Westbrook. But this story with Presti is, it's really funny, where they all knew the game. But what you're sold as the public is many times the truth, but sometimes it's not. Gettleman wanted out of OBJ for 2 years. They wanted out of that for 2 years. Chris Paul and Harden, I know you think it's all fake news. They didn't get along. That's why they moved them. They didn't get along. And by the way, Westbrook, they knew. What they told you, they knew. And we're going to blast them publicly, but they knew.
What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast, brought to you by my main man, Colin Cowherd, and his podcast network. If you don't know me, I used to work in the NFL. I've now been in the media for 5 or 6 years. Coming up this week, I talk about the NFL's recent success financially, the franchise tag, and I talk about every young quarterback in the league, their ceiling and their floor. Again, John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Listen to wherever you listen to your podcast.
Yeah, I see these Madden 20 quarterback ratings. They came out yesterday. I don't play Madden, but, you know, have friends who have. And Aaron Rodgers, they did the 20 quarterback ratings. And Aaron Rodgers was, you know, like he wasn't number one or number two, and everybody freaked out. Aaron Rodgers was 13th in passer rating last year and 13th in touchdown passes. And he's 35 and brittle. Like, what? With a very good offensive line, he was 13th in passer rating, 13th in touchdown passes, and he's hard to coach and increasingly brittle. Can we move off the Aaron Rodgers is always getting hosed thing? Let's move off that. I just don't buy that. So here's the Madden NFL 20. Mahomes, 97. Brady, 96. Philip, 94. Breeze, 92. Luck, 92. Wilson, 91. Aaron Rodgers, 90. And everybody's freaking out. That's about where he's at right now. He's an old 35. He's a stubborn 35. He's an increasingly brittle 35. He's already said publicly, I mean, this is a guy that struggled with some players, with some coaches, with some family members. This is where Aaron's at. I was telling the staff this morning, you're the GM. I'm not looking for you fanboys. You're the general manager. You make $3.5 million a year, which you'll never make, but let's pretend. So it's $3.5 million. You're the GM of a franchise. And you have to name the quarterbacks you're going to build around. And you're going to consider four things. What's their age? What's their injury history? What's their talent? And do they have the appropriate leadership qualities? That's why Baker wouldn't be on the top of my list. Baker Mayfield. So age, injury, talent, leadership. Number one is Mahomes. Number two to me is Russell Wilson. Number three to me is Andrew Luck. I am worried about his injury, but I do think he got over it last year. I don't even have a fourth. Now, I love Carson Wentz, but I got to see him make it through a season. If you were a GM today and you're building... You're building your franchise, and you got to consider age, talent, leadership, and injury. Aaron Rodgers is not one of those three. He's 35 years old. He can't stay healthy. Mahomes is not rigid. Russell Wilson's not stubborn. Andrew Luck is totally coachable. Those are my three guys. Then you get into a group of old guys who can win now, Ben, Breeze, Brady, Philip, Aaron. Or young guys you cross your fingers on. You know, Deshaun Watson, will he keep growing? I like Sam Darnold more than Baker because I like the leadership qualities. But if you're tied, it's pass for Aaron. That doesn't mean Aaron can't win another Super Bowl. But let's put this in some context. Aaron Rodgers, the last time he won a Super Bowl, Carson Palmer was a Cincinnati Bengal. Peyton Manning was a Colt. Brett Favre was playing. That's been a long, long time. And much like Brett, he's aging like Brett Favre. Difficult to coach, kind of doing it his way, super talented, great arm, you know, not easy for everybody to get along with. If you started your franchise today and you had all the considerations, Mahomes, Russell, and Andrew Luck are my guys. And Luck, I paused because of the injuries, but it did look like last year to me. And he plays in a dome. Frank Reich is now the coach. They're getting rid of the ball to their tight ends quickly. He's got a running game. Luck has the best offensive line, young offensive line in the game. So I'll roll the dice on Luck because I think their offensive line, their general manager, their running game, and their tight ends, he gets rid of the – he didn't get hit nearly as much last year. I think I'd do Carson Wentz 4, but he likes to run around. And he likes to ad-lib like Aaron Rodgers, and I got to see Carson Wentz get through a season. But we've got this constant Aaron Rodgers is getting hosed. No, he's not. if you're building a franchise today, 13th in passer touchdowns, 13th in passer rating, tougher to coach. This is what it is. This is the real NFL. You're anti Aaron Rodgers. You think I'm anti Patrick Mahomes? 90% of you think I'm anti Patrick Mahomes. He'd be the number one guy in the league for me. You think I don't like Patrick Mahomes? If I had to do it today, I'd take Patrick. I don't got any injuries. I think he's incredibly coachable. I think he's an absurd talent, and I think he's got leadership qualities. He's got an it quality, and he's not immature to me. He's an adult. He's just a young kid. You got to allow kids to be kids. Now, Zeke's a kid, but gets me in trouble. Baker's a kid, but does stuff I hate. Patrick's a kid. Sometimes a little fun, a little flighty, but I like him. But you're not putting Aaron in the top three. He's in the group of old guys who can win now, but I'm not building my future around him. Like Tom Brady's been hurt once. Aaron's hurt every other year. I'm building a few. The Madden game's right on target. That's about where he is. He's a slight upgrade of Matt Ryan when you consider everything. Matt Ryan doesn't get hurt. Aaron does. Matt Ryan's easier to coach than Aaron. Matt Ryan can play within a system. I don't think this is, and I think, you know, I look at that Madden 20, Mahomes, Brady, Rivers, Breeze, Luck, Russell, Rodgers, Matt, Ben. I think they got Cam a little high. I think they got Wentz a little low. It's mostly accurate.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Now, I've always believed this, that because I'm from the Pacific Northwest,
yes,
I try to not be a homer. Because I think people tend to think, oh, you're a homer. I live in Los Angeles now, and I get, oh, you're a homer. Well, no, Vegas has the Lakers and the Clippers as the top two NBA teams. That's not my opinion. Right. And the Rams did get to the Super Bowl, although all year I was very critical of the Rams. So I don't think I'm a homer. I think the Houston Astros will win the National League, not the Dodgers. I think they have more good players, and they have more experience. Dodgers are young and talented. So I try not to be an L.A. homer. It's just right now the Dodgers are good, the Clippers are good, the Lakers are good. You know, the L.A. teams, LAFC, I have season tickets to. A lot of teams are winning in Los Angeles. And in Seattle, the Seahawks have been great, but I try not to be a homer. In fact, I probably go overboard in not embracing the team in the areas I'm from because I always push back on that. I always try to give the East Coast and the Midwest teams a little bit more love. Just like I said a couple of minutes ago, if I had to build an NFL franchise, I'd take Mahomes and Andrew Luck, two of my three Midwest guys. People would disagree, but I do feel like I push back on the Seattle homer thing sometimes. But Russell Wilson's the exception because I grew up a Seattle Seahawks fan, and we were mostly fun and irrelevant my entire life. And then Pete Carroll came, and we were still mostly fun and irrelevant, 7-9, 7-9. And then Russell Wilson arrived, and everything changed. And suddenly Pete Carroll's the best coach ever, and Marshawn Lynch is the best running back ever, and Richard Sherman's the best player ever. And no, Russell Wilson arrived. And by the way, Russell Wilson was there last year, and a lot of the other players have all left. Marshawn Lynch has left, and Richard Sherman left, and all the players, Cam Chancellor left, and everybody left. Seattle had a winning record still. Oh, okay. It's like Steph Curry. Steph Curry doesn't get any respect from players because this is the way it works in pro sports. Cool is a commodity. Of course, not in real life. Smart is. Grown up is. Dependable is. But in sports, among players, Westbrook's more popular than Steph Curry. Steph Curry's not cool. Steph Curry's quiet, and he's religious, and he's a family guy. And he wears, like, pharmaceutical shoes. And Russell Wilson's religious and quiet and not loud and not... And so Steph Curry and Russell Wilson They're also a little smaller, distinct, and unique. They don't get respect from players. So yesterday's a prime example. Golden Tate, who entered the league with the Seahawks, then he went to the Lions, and now he's a New York Giant. He was Philadelphia for an hour. Yeah, so he's bounced around a little bit. Total shot at Russell Wilson, saying his former Lions quarterback is way better.
To me, as of now, where I am today, I think Stafford's been the best quarterback I've played with over his career. If you put him in another organization, maybe things are different. I don't know, because I played with some guys over my years that I've won playoff games with that I don't think are as good.
That's funny. That would be Russell Wilson. If you put Matt Stafford in a different organization, no, that's not the way it works, Golden. That's not a golden take. This is not a debate. It's a hill you're going to die on alone. Okay? Let me tell you how it works. When you're great, you make the organization. Carson Palmer made the Bengals get to the playoffs. Andy Dalton can't. Same organization. Seattle had all sorts of quarterbacks who could play. Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl. This idea, well, it's the Lions. By the way, the Packers were dog meat before Brett Favre got there. They were 25 years of a nothing burger, and Brett Favre got there and made the organization. What were the Colts before Peyton Manning? Don't give me this whole, well, I mean, if you put Stafford over, well, what were the Seahawks before Russell Wilson? A bunch of nothing. I was there. This is not a debate who's better. It's a shot at Russell Wilson. Let's look at some numbers. You know, data and stuff. Passer rating, not close, Wilson. Losing season, Stafford 6. Russell never had one. Touchdown interceptions. Stafford's got twice the interceptions, twice the losses. And that's Russell being in a division where teams got to the Super Bowl in his division. San Francisco got to a Super Bowl in his division. Arizona got to the NFC Championship in his division. The Rams got to a Super Bowl in his division. That's not an easy division. So this is not a debate. And the idea that if you put, and I like Stafford, I think he's crazy talented, but if you put Stafford in a better organization, no. What were the Packers for 25 years before Brett Favre got there? What were the Seahawks before Russell Wilson got there? They made the organization. What were the Colts before Peyton Manning? By the way, Denver had John Elway. Denver lost John Elway. They were only, I mean, they haven't been special mostly since he left, except for the year they got Peyton Manning. Okay? So don't tell me if you put Matt in a different situation. No. Matt has not been good enough to this point to elevate the organization, which is what the transformative guys do. This idea Seattle is just a great organization and Russell Wilson's just a little bit of the stop. This is not a debate. This is playoff wins, Russell Wilson 8, Stafford none. Okay, not a debate. All right. And by the way, not picking on Matt Stafford because Golden Tate brought this up. Matt Stafford would probably tell you if you asked him, yeah, Russell has a better career. I think Matt Stafford would tell you that. So I saw, I'm not going to pick on the writer on this story. NFL.com. They list the best coaches in the NFL. Now, there's a bunch of new coaches, like 6-7 new coaches. They don't rank any of those. So they only rank 26 coaches. These are guys who coached last year in the league. They're not counting the new guys. Right? Guys who have never been a head coach in the NFL. That's the guys they're not counting. So they list the 26 coaches in order in the NFL. And most of the stuff at the top, we all know who it is. Belichick, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Pete Carroll, Sean McVay, Harbaugh, Anthony Lynn, Tomlin. I'm not going to, you know, that's fine to have Andy Reid number two behind Belichick. Pete Carroll maybe third or fourth, but that's fine. I think they have a couple guys too high, too low. Now, I will say this. They have John Gruden at 15th. That's being very generous. They've got Doug Marrone for the Jaguars at 18th. That is beyond generous. He's an offensive coach, and the offense is always unwatchable. They've also got Bruce Arians at 16. Nice guy, but he stopped working in Arizona and used to brag he was home by 5:30 to have a cocktail with his wife. That's not the 15th, 16th best coach in the NFL. But here's why I stopped taking calls in sports radio, one of the reasons. Nobody was teaching me anything. Tell me something I don't know. Give me an idea I've never thought of. Feed nutrients to my audience. Callers stopped doing that. They just repeated stuff I'd said or told me stuff I could already see on television. And my job is to find stuff nobody's talking about. But it's not really a fan's responsibility. It's mostly a media's job to do that. That's our job. 24/7, we're in media. So when the NFL.com comes out and puts Kyle Shanahan at 23rd, what are you doing? So let me tell you, NFL.com writer, Shanahan has a doppelganger in this league. It's called Belichick. Belichick was a great coordinator. Everywhere he went, legendary. Everywhere he went, teams got better. Went to Cleveland, won some games, but couldn't win consistently because he couldn't get the great quarterback. If I'd have told you when Belichick was in Cleveland, this is the next great head coach in the league, you'd have scoffed at it. But if you'd done any homework with Belichick, you'd have known. He actually did an incredible job in Cleveland for what he had. And he was the best coordinator in the league. And every time he interviewed, that's why he got a job after Cleveland so quickly. That's why he had multiple jobs. He turned down the Jets job. Okay, Kyle Shanahan has an incredible career as a coordinator. Everywhere he's gone, he made Matt Schaub a Pro Bowler. Everywhere he's gone, he made Matt Ryan an MVP. Then he leaves, the teams aren't the same, the quarterbacks aren't the same. Anybody can tell me Sean Payton's good. Tell me something we haven't seen yet. I'm going to give you some data, and this is my job to do this, on Kyle Shanahan. So since he's been in San Francisco, here's the quarterback attempts. C.J. Beathard's thrown 400 balls. Nick Mullins, 275. Brian Hoyer, 205. Jimmy G, only 267. Those are the quarterbacks he's dealt with. The team health has been 29 and 23rd, meaning his teams can't stay healthy. The schedule, the 7th toughest and the 15th toughest. In a division with Seattle and the Rams, both really good. Kyle Shanahan, when he has had Jimmy Garoppolo, a legitimate franchise quarterback, is 6-2. That's 6-2 as he's rebuilt with a tougher-than-average schedule, with a team that can't stay healthy, and a bad defense, which you can't blame him for that because he's not drafting the players. Their secondary's atrocious. So if you look at him when he's actually had a quarterback that's considered a franchise quarterback, 400 yards a game, 93 passer rating, they win by over a field goal, 27 points a game, 6-2. This is Belichick before he got a franchise quarterback. I know Andy Reid can coach. I know Sean Payton can coach. I know Pete Carroll can coach. I know Bill Belichick's great. Anybody can say that. Find me stuff, because Shanahan, if you do a little digging, to put him 23rd in the league is absurd. My contention, in 2 years, you'll put him in the top 6. And I've said this before, McVay's got the high cheekbones and is way better with the media. So we all love Sean McVay, and I like him too. I think Shanahan is a better coach. Not by a ton, because I think McVay's great. But McVay is very friendly with the media, very handsome, ton of energy. It's the Los Angeles market, and McVay's just, and he's good. McVay's really, really good. But you watch that Super Bowl. That was a coaching clinic. The best Rams coach was Wade Phillips, not Sean McVay. McVay was the third best coach in that football game. Shanahan is a great coach, but you have to dig a little. Team's not healthy. Schedule's brutal. Doesn't have a quarterback. Rebuilding. How bad was this team when he took them over? How bad were the Niners? Just wait. Just wait. 6-2 with Jimmy G.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
DJ Hushmanzada played 11 years in the NFL, Seahawks, Ravens, Bengals, Raiders, Pro Bowler. And by the way, not only are his daughters college athletes, but you're a bit of a coach yourself. You should tell the audience you do some coaching.
A little bit. I try to help young receivers get better. That's what I'll say.
And you do. A lot of the elite California, Southern California wide receivers work with TJ, and you were a great route runner, incredibly coachable, good hand, smart dude, so you're a very good coach. So anybody out there that's got a son that runs a 4.3, TJ Hushmanzada. We were talking about a couple of different things. I want to start with something I haven't talked about in about an hour. I try not to be a homer because I'm from Seattle. But I believe great quarterbacks, Carson Palmer's one of these. Cincinnati was a laughingstock. Carson overcame all their issues and made him a playoff team because Carson was great. Seattle was irrelevant my entire childhood. Russell Wilson gets there and changes them. Matt Stafford's got the talent, but has never been able to take them on his shoulders. I'm not disputing dysfunction within the organization. But Cincinnati had a lot, and Carson made him a playoff team. And Seattle had a lot, and Russell made him a playoff team. And by the way, Atlanta had a lot, and Matt Ryan's helped him be a playoff team. With my knock on Stafford, yesterday Golden Tate said Stafford's better than Russell Wilson. I'll let you hear the sound on this, and then TJ react. Go ahead.
To me, as of now, where I am today, I think Stafford's been the best quarterback I've played with over his career. If you put him in another organization, maybe things are different. I don't know, because I played with some guys over my years that I've won playoff games with that I don't think are as good.
Just a shot at Russell Wilson. What do you make of Stafford? What do you make of that comment?
Well, there could be some history between Golden Tate and Russell Wilson.
I think there is.
It's almost a fact. There's some type of history, some bitterness that they have with each other.
Yes.
But I will say this. For the last couple weeks, I've been out working with my guys, and Stafford has been there. Stafford throws the ball, man, very, very, very well.
That's never been the issue,
He's very accurate. So if you're just talking about a thrower of the football, Golden Tate has a point.
Yes.
If you're talking overall – that's when you say, come on, Tate, you hating, bro. Because that's what it is. You can't just say Stafford is better than Russell Wilson just off of Russell Wilson's accomplishments. But just a throw of the football, when we're out there throwing, Stafford throws a pretty ball. It's accurate. It's on time. You're not slowing down. You're not everything is just perfect.
Mel Kiper said years ago that – and Stafford's a great guy. He's a great guy, great family. He said that Stafford was so good out of, I think, South Lake High School in Texas that people would have drafted him out of high school and just sat him for 2 years. He was that kind of arm talent. Like, he literally – remember at Georgia, he started as a freshman.
So true. I seen Stafford when he was on his way to Georgia. He was coming out of high school. Nike had flew me out to Beaverton, and I seen Matthew Stafford, and I told him before he went to college, you're going to be the first pick in 3 years. And we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
And – he's a great thrower of the football.
He is. But this is what I always say about Aaron Rodgers. Quarterback is beyond that. It's leadership. Tom Brady every offseason learns new music so he relates to his teammates. There's a lot that goes into memorization of playbook, audibling at the line, total commitment physically, kale ice cream. I mean, that's what makes Brady great, not his arm strength and his mobility. So I'm with you. Like, I think Russell Wilson has something. Russell Wilson, Steph Curry. He's not cool. Religious, quiet, family. Players are kind of like roll their eyes at Steph. They roll their eyes at Russell. Russell doesn't have kind of credibility among players. But there are things called instincts. Like, you just do stuff. Your body does stuff. Russell's instinctually, I've never quite seen anything like him.
See, the thing in sports is this. I mean, from any sport, you go basketball, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, whoever it is in football. Why did you do that? I don't know. My instinct told me to do it, and that's what makes players better than others is instinctually they do things that aren't taught. They just do them, and you're like, why did he do that? Oh, that's why he's a great player, because his instincts are better than yours, and he has that. Some guys never get it. The being a leader thing, some guys are just – Russell Wilson is a natural leader.
Yes.
He just has that in him. Whereas guys like maybe Stafford, you have to learn. That takes a little time. But you look at Russell. He's had one head coach his entire career. Matthew Stafford has had three. He's had more turnover. Things are a little different. And you would say the three coaches Stafford has had, they don't compare to Pete Carroll. And so Russell Wilson has had more stability and more leadership at the top than Stafford has had as well.
I want to move over to the Madden ratings came out, and they rate quarterbacks. First of all, do players care?
Yeah, it matters. I remember one time I got rated, and I thought I was low, and I said something in the interview, and they changed it. It matters. I used to play Madden, though, all the time.
Well, yeah, players do.
I haven't played Madden in so long, but, yeah, it does matter. It's like you really disrespect. Because you look at the rankings, and you say, oh, he's not better than me, really? And so,
by the way, they have Carson Wentz at 82 and Kirk Cousins at 81.
See, the thing is, though, it's a what have you done for me? Carson Wentz has been hurt. And so it's what have you done for me lately? Aaron Rodgers, look where he's at. What have you done for me lately? You're not taking all those quarterbacks in front of Aaron Rodgers. At least I'm not if I'm a receiver.
If you were a GM today, so you're building for 5 to 7 years, would you take 35-year-old Aaron Rodgers, who's increasingly brittle? Would you take him over Mahomes, Andrew Luck? I wouldn't.
No, not those two guys because he's 35.
There you go.
They have more of a ceiling.
So put up the three guys. I said this morning, if you told me I was GM, here's what I'm building my franchise. So I have to consider four things at quarterback: age, talent, injury history, and leadership. These are the first three guys I'd take. Now, Luck, injury worries me, but here's the thing. I know going forward, TJ, they have the best young offensive line and the best tight end group in the NFL, and Frank Reich teaches get rid of the ball fast. So Luck didn't get hit last year. So I feel safe next 5 years with Andrew Luck. I would take Mahomes 1, Russell 2, and Luck 3.
I would put a question mark on Andrew Luck just because of his injuries. But if everybody's healthy, then you're right. Looking at that list, I think they kind of hated on Ben as well. I think Ben should be higher on the Madden ratings as well.
I think
Ben is underrated, man.
Well, he's old.
He has little issues with the leadership. But
yeah, little.
You talk about him playing on the field, he's underrated. He's underrated.
Where do they have him here? They have him in an 85. They have him lower than Matt Ryan. That feels underrated to me.
Big Ben is he's better than that.
Yeah, he is. By the way, sounds crazy. Sometimes I say stuff sounds crazy. But the NFL is not the NBA. In the NBA, there's just certain guys you got to keep. They just do stuff nobody – you can't get rid of Klay Thompson. 6'5", shoots threes, you got to sign him. Take away a handful of quarterbacks. The NFL's always been about – you got to – sometimes you have to let go of great players because salary cap, we've got a young guy that's 85% of him. Our offense changed with a new system. This tight end doesn't work with this coach. I would consider Zeke now 2 years out is privately telling people I'm going to hold out. 2 years out. Also, I have to deal every offseason with a legal issue. I'd move him.
I would not. The only thing that concerns me is what you said, the legal issue. Like the thing with the security guard, that's not a big deal. That's happened a lot with many of athletes before cameras were everywhere.
Yeah,
I didn't think that was a big deal. You don't know what was said. Dude is making a big deal. He bumps you. Get off. Like, come on, man. He didn't assault you. That does concern me, the off-the-field stuff. Like, once you've been in trouble once or twice, stay hire security everywhere you go. It's a lot cheaper to hire security than it is to get an attorney. Hire security. You're going to spend more money on an attorney when you get in trouble.
You could get a haul for Zeke.
And so –
touchdowns are down.
He's going into his fourth year. Like, he has four really, really, really strong years left.
Are we sure?
Yes. This you can't practice. You can't hit. You can't go 2-a-days. The game is so different now. Like, the rules of, oh, running backs get old after – the rules are so different now. They get hit in the game, but in practice, there's no contact. You can't practice double days in training camp anymore. It's just so – we did Oklahoma's the third day every year in Cincinnati in training camp. He was like, oh, man, I'm about to get a headache today. You didn't want to do it, but you got to do it. And so it's just so different now. I'm not trading him. If he holds out, he holds out. Now, if he holds out and it becomes a problem and I can get some things for him like the Vikings did for Herschel Walker, hey, then we'll move him. But I'm not looking to trade Ezekiel Elliott.
All right. I just, you know, sometimes I think all things should be considered. Outside of a franchise quarterback, I'm not moving Deshaun Watson. I'm not moving Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. He's gonna, I'm gonna sign him for a bunch of contracts.
Last year, what were we talking about?
By the way, Baker's not my cup of tea, but Cleveland should sign him.
Huh? Last year, we were saying if Dak Prescott got $25 million a year, he hit the lottery. The Cowboys would love to pay him $25 million a year right now.
Oh, they'd die
and
for it.
The longer they wait, the worse it's going to get. They have to for sure sign one of those guys to big deals.
Good seeing you.
Thank you. The same.